Welcome to the DeathstroneProducts.com anime manga podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by $6 shirts. Crazy shirts for crazy cheap. You can get all the shirts on there are $6, or you can get 10 shirts for only $50. Saves you $10. Yes.
That's a lot of dollars.
Yes. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site that show the weird, that show the really weird, creepy bearded dude, and it looks like it's made in MS Paint. Because I'm pretty sure that's what they made all their banner ads in.
Makes sense.
Yeah. While our shirts are not as awesome or MS Painty, we do have our own. Let's go to DeathstroneProducts.com/store and check them out. So yeah, you can even buy the shirt that spawned from this very show, the Because Japan shirt.
I must say, that particular shirt probably could have been done in MS Paint.
Hey, that guy used a tablet for it. Stuff.
Fancy. Yeah, I have a tablet.
He's all fancy schmancy, and then his thing broke. But yeah, so, we're also doing Extra Life again this year, so go to DeathstroneProducts.com/Extra Life, that's all one word, and donate, or join the team and help us fundraise. We're targeting $1,000. All proceeds donated go directly to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, and all proceeds are tax deductible. So yeah, that is DeathstroneProducts.com/Extra Life. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Today we have Bovion.
Hello.
Ninja Kitty.
Hello.
The triumphant return of Pudgetron.
Huzzah.
And special guest Kaz, who you may have heard from the Anything cast.
Howdy.
So yeah, it's a five banger. This can only go well. So Pudge, you're back. What have you been watching and reading?
Okay, I used up all of my... on a lot of my backup files for the double issue of Endless Wanderings, but I'll see what I can come up with.
Yes.
Let's see. In recent news, I guess, is Hagure Yusha no Aesthetica.
Those are words?
They are. In Japanese. And knows a word in English. So, language. Yes. But anyway... it's recent, as in, it's the summer 2012 anime season that just started. Basically, the story goes that Akatsuki Osawa returns from another world. You know, basically the hero manga kind of thing, and then comes back to the normal world, and then he gets sort of recruited for... a school that handles all the people who get teleported to different worlds and come back.
Okay.
So it's sort of a what happens after the sort of supernatural fantasy thing after they get back to their own world, I guess. I'm trying to think of a good example of what this would mean, but, you know, main character gets transported to an alternate dimension, and then he spends the whole time trying to get back, and, you know, at the end of the series, he gets back. This is what would happen to him after he got back.
Okay. So
this would be, like, how Bleach should have been, you know, Ichigo loses his powers, everything's suddenly normal. This would be that.
Except that everybody still has their powers.
Well, yeah, but they mostly don't talk about them, so they don't make him upset.
Well, all right. But basically, what he didn't come back alone is part of the shtick. He smuggled Miu out, who is basically the daughter, well, not basically, she is the daughter of the demon king he killed. In the alternate dimension.
So this is a sequel series?
No. That's just what happened before the series started.
Oh, okay. I was just like... when he explained it, I was like, wait, did I miss something? He said, like, this is what happens after this series.
Yeah, no. This is... It explains it very well in the show. But basically, he passes Miu off as his sister in... Japan, and he goes to Babel, which is the name of the organization that handles these kinds of matters, and
Oh, the MGO.
There's a conspiracy, yeah, sort of, pretty much. There's a conspiracy at the school, and there's a super powerful student council, and they're basically sort of, the people are called out to do hero things, handle terrorist situations and whatnot. But yeah, it's very good. Like, it's, I mean, I say that a lot, but it's good. It's, I mean, it can get a little racy at times.
Racy how?
Well, there's nudity and there's some suggestive subject matter. Some extremely suggestive subject matter.
You sound like an ESRB rating.
But, yeah, so, it never really seems out of place. It's not really blatant or anything. It's like, they're having a shower. Okay, they're naked. There we go.
It's like, they're in the kitchen. Oh, they're naked.
Nothing quite like that.
They're out grocery shopping. Oh, they're naked.
There's no exploding clothing or exploding armor.
The clothing does happen. Yes. But
they're, maybe, in the middle, yeah, they're in the middle of a climactic earth-saving fight. Oh, and they're naked.
Yeah, Akatsuki, he sort of, he is extremely powerful, and he sort of plays this off by, well, some of the more powerful student council members aren't exactly fond of him, because when he first met them, he stole their underwear.
What?
Like, right off their body.
What? What?
One of his things.
He steals people's underwear?
Yeah, he can do that. Just right off the body. Just.
Now, does he have to remove the clothing on top, or can he just get the underwear, like, from underneath?
It kind of happens in, it happens very quickly in the show. You never really see it. Their clothing looks disturbed. He doesn't take it off at all. He's just that fast.
So he's a magician.
Sort of. You can actually can't do that. That's explicitly said.
So he's like Hansel from Zoolander?
Or Grandpa Simpson? How did you do that? I don't know.
I have a feeling he knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Like Hansel. Just hands up, one goes down the pants, underwear.
But yeah, at its heart, it's sort of a, it's a magic fighting
test your might
anime thing with a bit of a conspiracy subplot and everything. It's
okay.
Yeah, kind of. He gets back, he's just put into a class, and, you know, first 5 minutes of him being at the school, a guy from the A class, he's in the B class, he's put into the B class, just so you know, which is, you know, highest rank is A, B, C, D, E.
Oh, so it has like a...
E, F, I think F is... But, yeah, he's just, you know, they put him in the B class because we don't have time to do a test. Put him in the B class. He's okay.
He's like, oh, I stole our underwear. Put him in the B class.
Yeah, and this bully from the A class, which is supposed to be a big deal, comes over and he basically just kicks the ever-living shit out of him. It's actually one of the most satisfying scenes to watch ever.
Okay.
Check it out. It's currently running. I'm not sure how many episodes there are or how many there will be, but it's currently running. Go check it out. I think it may be on Crunchyroll. So
I shall see.
Check it out. It's good.
Okay, what else we got?
Shining endorsement. This one is one of the first ones I've ever actually watched, called Ergo Proxy, if any of you have heard of that one.
Not even kind of.
I haven't really met a whole lot of people who have besides me and my brother for some reason. But it's a sci-fi, it's sort of a dystopian future where the world has kind of gone all to hell due to pollution.
Oh, so it's the Jetsons.
They've kind of everybody has combined themselves to domed-in cities.
Oh, so it's Logan's Run.
Which are sort of fascist quasi-states. and they don't really connect with each other, and...
Russia's a socialist nation. Come on.
Yeah.
Italy.
But basically, it follows Vincent Law, who's...
Vincent Law?
Yes, that's his name.
Is he a descendant of Forrest Law?
He's an immigrant.
Okay.
Give him a break. Because his city basically exploded.
They just hit when that happens.
City. Yeah. But, and it's Vincent Law and the intelligence operative Riel Mayer. And they get caught up in this massive web of secrets and lies circling around the city of Romdo, which is the city where the first half of it takes place. And one of the big things is these monsters that they never really explain all that much until the very end, and even that's not all that great of an explanation. They're known as proxies. And it's a little hard to go into what they are. They're sort of humanoid shadow monster things. You kind of need to see them. I can't really explain them without spoiling anything, so you kind of need to see them. But I guess they're sort of implied to be the arbiters of the world now.
Okay.
For some reason. And there's a whole sequence where they have to leave the city and they go on an adventure on this ruined world with a small girl robot named, I can't remember her name. It's been so long since I watched it.
Yeah, this is just sounding all kinds of weird.
It is. It's very weird. It's beautifully animated. Everything is sort of dystopian. It's a great show. You should watch it. It does a hell of a lot more justice to itself than I am doing it. But I honestly can't recommend Ergo Proxy enough to anybody. It remains as one of my favorite shows of all time.
Okay, yeah.
Even after all time, so as people who know how much I watch know how much that means.
Yeah, you seem to consistently write an article week to week.
Yeah.
About all the anime and stuff that he's watched, and then still have stuff to talk about.
I don't think anyone could name an anime that you've never heard of or watched.
No, I'm sure there's people who can do this.
Hide and Closer?
Well, yes, I've heard of that one. We did a battle thing for that.
We did?
Yes.
I don't remember that. It has been a while.
I think we all blotted out that part of the podcast history.
Yes, we've all... Why did we ever think that would be a good idea?
Battlecast? I never remember doing that. I remember having that idea in, like, grade 12, but...
Yeah, it was just... You were just sitting there in chemistry class learning about carbohydrates, and then just... And then battle.
But I guess one of the closer ones that you may know better is Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
It's sort of similar to that, except more... It's a very philosophy-based show.
I have heard of Ghost in the Shell.
Yes. Okay. So it's the same sort of style-ish.
Okay.
Not really.
Okay, let's just...
It's dystopian Ghost in the Shell. Let's leave it at that.
Let's just move on. What else you got?
Alright, well, 5 of us. I think I'll leave it at that before I go and describe Captain Gattery at the end.
Yeah, that's gonna be a thing. It's got Kaz!
Yes?
What have you been watching or reading?
I've been reliving my childhood, having a whole nostalgia thing going on.
Okay.
Like Pokemon, like the original Indigo League, old school, watching that again. Sailor Moon, read the new version of the graphic novels, the re-release, but also been watching some of that as an old school, of course.
Okay, are you looking forward to the new Sailor Moon series that's going to be coming out next year?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, even the difference between the dub and the sub to watch it. For example, I have the movies, I have the uncut on DVD, so it's all sub. And then I have the regular English dub on the videotape, and there's still some differences even there. So for it to be re-released, I don't know. That'd be kind of like ruining my childhood.
No, I think I don't think it's a re-release. I think it's a new series.
Well, it's like they're bringing it back, but with new everything. Same name, different thing.
Yeah, new sailors.
No, I don't like the idea of it at all.
It's Sailor Moon Academy.
I'm not sure they can expand farther than our solar system, dead man.
I'm saying that. I'm not saying that there are new. I'm not saying that there are the old sailors, and then there's a new galaxy of sailors, like the Andromeda sailors. I'm not talking about that shit.
Well, they never released Sailor Stars in U.S., so they can also redo that. So.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's like, I don't know, it's like fucking years down the road. Like, all the sailors have gotten old and shit, so they pass it on to new generation or something. Like, some weird Power Rangers Megaforce thing, if I'm using that right. I'm just being an idiot right now, I think.
I just bought the original Power Rangers Season 1, Volume 1, and I got watching that. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And then I remember how much it destroyed it as it went on.
Yeah,
I think in the past couple of minutes in this podcast, you have been stabbing Kaz's childhood in the heart.
Woo!
It burns!
Fuck children.
Rude.
Coincidentally enough, please go to destroprods.com/extra life and save some kids.
Oh, yeah, way to go.
See, I offset my hatred with charity.
It's not very nice, though.
That's the only reason we do this event every year, to offset all the hatred spewing from Dead Man.
The only other thing I've been keeping up on now is I just started reading Loveless, because even though I know a little bit about it, I finally decided to read it online.
Okay, so I don't know what that is. Explain it for our audience.
Oh, that's an interesting one. I've only read one volume as it stands so far, so I'm actually not too far into it, because I've been doing way too much other things around trying to prepare for Tobuscus. But Loveless, essentially, from what I understood, it starts off with a character name. His name is Ritsuka, and he has cat ears and a cat tail. And anybody who has not lost their virginity, or become an adult, with quotations there, they have the ears and tail. So,
what?
Yeah! If you have no ears and tail, you have had sex, and you are officially an adult.
What?
But the idea is that Ritsuka, his brother, was murdered by, I don't remember the guy's name, like it's a group. And his brother was a part of this whole thing that goes on where there's a fighter and I don't even remember what they're called. This is so bad. I feel terrible for this. But there's essentially like a fighter and then someone who is kind of the one that actually takes the damage. And so you have your names, which, for example, Ritsuka's brother's name was Beloved, and so his fighter, Soubi, who comes in and has to take care of Ritsuka, his name is also Beloved. And so Ritsuka's is Loveless, and what happens is, after Ritsuka's brother is killed, his brother left it in his, like, will or whatever little note that Soubi is to become Ritsuka's fighter. So I'm not entirely sure where it's all going. All I know is that Ritsuka needs to find out who killed his brother, and that the fact that he has Soubi as his fighter, that's not supposed to happen. You're only supposed to have one fighter and one protector together. So it's kind of interesting, kind of weird at the same time, because there's a lot of like implied things that just, no, it doesn't make sense, because Ritsuka's like 6th grade and Soubi is like at least mid-20s, and there's a relationship going on there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
What kind of relationship is it?
Well, so far, it's only kind of fluffy, like, Soubi always says that he loves Ritsuka, And apparently he's actually falling in love with the kid now, from what I've gathered. But that just, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a bit skeevy.
It is skeevy, but I've heard good things about it. So I was like, fine, I'll read it. Everybody else says to read it. Fine. Whatever, even if it does get kind of awkward sometimes.
Pudge, have you read it? Oh, great, it's fucking gone. Fuck it.
I actually haven't, so... right there.
Such a fucking troll!
Okay, well, okay, is there anything else?
Not right offhand. I've got multiple different ones on the one online website that I'm going to read that my friend sent to me, and I haven't gotten around to actually getting anywhere with many of them yet.
Okay. Okay. So, now me, because it's the middle. So, been reading some more Takamagahara. We're about to get into the second fight, so So, last time we had the dude who could, like, summon blades from inside his body. And now we have a new guy with a new power. He can absorb the blood of others to make himself turn into the Hulk.
Right, that sounds pretty badass.
Yeah, it really is. So in the series, the main guy, whose name escapes me, has a friend, like a childhood friend of his, who is like loves fighting, but is terrible at it. He's like, I'd be the greatest fighter ever, gonna go pick fights with everybody. But, like, she can't even, like, move a punching bag with her fist. And so this one guy starts, like, hitting on her, and he is, I'm pretty sure, a sociopath. So he's like hitting on her, he's like, looks really handsome and shit, and she's like, keeps trying to hit on her. He's like, okay, why is she going for this? I'm handsome, what the fuck, more do you want? And then the main guy shows up, and they start talking, and then, like, just behind a corner, the guy is, like, draining the blood of an old man, like, hooked up to an IV drip. And then he just punches the main guy as hard as he can, throws him back through a wall, and it's like, oh my god, what's happening? The girl's, like, freaking out. And then the guy just steps out, is like, oh, it's kind of the power guy. Alright, does up his other hand to get ready to fight. So, next chapter, we're gonna see another superpower fight between two fucking strong dudes, so that's gonna be awesome. And it's probably gonna destroy a hospital and probably kill everyone.
You say so lightheartedly.
Come on.
What happened to saving the kids here?
These aren't kids. They're dying people.
Okay.
Well, there could be kids there.
It's not a children's hospital, so we're not worrying about funding it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this isn't Sick Kids Foundation.
I guess we're just ridding more of the population.
Yeah. Yeah, Takamagahara. It's still a really fantastic series, and you guys should definitely check it out. It's still only 7 chapters in. So it's still good. So, moving on. Also read some more Count Trouble. So in the last episode, a couple chapters ago, Sasada, who is the main guy's angel, she aged a bit. Like, right now, normally she's like a 10-year-old kid, but then because the main guy whose name escapes me hooked up with his lady friend, whose name also escapes me. I'm terrible with names in these things.
Don't worry, so am I.
Yeah, because those two hooked up, she was able to, like, age a bit, so she went from a 10-year-old to a 20-year-old. And she started she started lording this over the other angels, and when angels summarily kicked her ass, which was actually great to see, like, a 10-year-old kid beating the fuck out of, like, a 20-year-old. But anyway, so then Sasada is, like, wants to get more magic shit, so she gives the main guy a spell, which will, like, just get everyone to confess all their shit. So he releases it in the middle of class, and then all of a sudden, every single person in the class who ever had a crush, like, has a crush on someone in their class, just starts, like, confessing their love to everybody. And then as they're walking away, the girl who doesn't know anything about Sasada's angel powers is like, huh, that was a bit weird. And they just go home, they just see Sasada, who is, like, the size of Godzilla now. Like, it somehow went from aging her to, like, physical maturity to just making her giant. As you just see her sitting there, like, she's all sitting there with her, like, knees up to her chest, like, oh man, I'm giant.
I must say, though, considering it's you know, an anime, a manga, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's manga
and all that. When people were confessing, it probably got real complicated in that room.
Oh yeah, they're just like on one panel, it was just like 10 speech bubbles with no directional lines to anybody, just saying, I mean, I love this person, I love this person, I don't love you, I love this person. It just got real confusing, but...
Japan, the land of unrequited love.
But yes, it's still interesting. I still really like this series, and I still recommend it to people. It's a nice little rom-com, it's funny, it's got an interesting bit to it, and it seems like it's going to be getting more interesting now that Sasuke is the size of Godzilla. And also considering the fact that she's kind of a bitch. So, a giant bitch.
So she's kind of like Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
Kind of, but if you like take off her hat, she gets really moe. Yeah, because apparently with angels, like their hats alter their personality. So like when Sasuke has her hat on, she's like really like outspoken, just really kind of a bitch. But then we take her hat off, she's like, "Oh, no, give me back my hat!" And, like crying almost at the entire time, and she's just like really moe about everything. And there's this other angel who's the exact opposite of her. When her hat's off, she's, like, really nice and cute and everything, but they would put her hat on, she, like, turns into more of a bitch than Sasuke. So that's fun.
And if you remove their halos, they get violent diarrhea.
These angels actually don't have halos. And I know
well, what the hell?
Yeah, I think it's their hats are their halos. So, yeah, take off Sasuke's hat, she get really, really moe and really have to shit. moving
awkward.
On. Yeah. So, some more reading some Cage of Eden, and it seems we've reached the end of an arc. So up to now, they've been dealing with Nishikiori, who is this doctor who essentially turned his group of survivors into a slave camp, and just made sure that he was the one who was in charge and like lorded over everybody. But it turns out he's not actually a doctor. He was just a pharmaceutical company guy. So when the people first arrived on the island, a bunch of them got sick, and he happened to recognize the symptoms. And he was able, since he was like working with pharmaceuticals, he was able to like mix the thing together and just gave it to everyone. And then he just started lording up the facts, like, "Hey guys, I'm a doctor. So guess what? If I don't like you and you get sick, fuck you guys. I'm gonna let you die." Yes, it was realized he wasn't a doctor when one of the teachers, the only surviving one. Turns out she was dying. But then realized there was a doctor, and Akira, the main guy, slapped sense into him, so he did the operation because he, I guess, didn't want to because he, like, his son died in the operating table and he, like, refused to do surgery again after that. But yeah, so all that happened, they got Nishikiori beat, Sensei lived, and everything's all fine now.
Yay, happy ending. Sounds like Disney.
And now we move into the next arc, where they go toward the fourth structure on the island. So on this island, they found a map. Well, so far, they found three actual buildings. There was the lighthouse, the antenna, and the pyramid. The lighthouse was this, like, a lighthouse with the spiral staircase in it that, I guess, was, like, research areas. They had, like, a bunch of computers and hard drives in there and shit. The antenna, it was like a shrine thing that, like, here lies Mia, Isaragi Mia, who is this girl who is on the island, but she has no memory of herself. So it's weird that so we haven't really learned why there's a giant grave to her when she is still alive. And there was the pyramid where, I guess, all the genetic experiments were done that made all the extinct animals on the island. Because, you know, mix together the DNA of a dog and a bird and you get a fucking dinosaur. Because genetics.
That makes sense to me.
Because, you know, genetics.
Yep, that's how it works.
But yeah, so then there's a fourth tower. A fourth structure called the Tower, which they believe is a barracks. So now they have gotten their entire group together and they're going off toward the Tower. But some people in that group are still loyal to Nishikiori, even though he's not a doctor and not lording it over them anymore. They just like being his bitch, I guess. And he has a plan in motion to get shit working again. Like, get everyone under his boot heel again. And also, more relationship shit. Because, you know, stuck on a deserted island filled with weird pyramids and ancient animals that are trying to kill you, it's best time to talk about boys!
Oh, the topic that every fangirl and teenage girl talks about.
Yeah, and, you know, girls love to talk about boys when they're all naked together in a river lathering themselves up. Because that's what they do,
right?
Yeah,
this is what all media has told me, that girls do when they're on their own on a deserted island. So
yes, girls here, would you do that?
No, I mean, I don't know. Depends.
Then clearly you're strange, because that is not the norm.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The norm can go suck it.
if anime is telling me the truth, which I figure anime must always be telling me the truth.
Because every single person is always late for school and has to run with their breakfast stuffed in their mouth. Because that's what happens in almost every single anime.
Yeah, and then while you're doing that, you accidentally like shoot down some stairs and land face versus some cleavage.
Look, yeah!
Not everybody does that, but there's always one
or
guy.
Or you fall
so
down
always,
and then there's always crotch shot.
I always pointed at that kid and I'm like, he's the protagonist.
Yeah,
and I guess
like,
I'm just not a protagonist, okay?
It's like it's like sitting there, like sitting out front, like 7-Eleven, drinking a Slurpee. You just see some kid running by, like throwing his jacket on while eating some breakfast. Like, huh? He's be having interesting things happen to him.
That's more like, oh, there goes the main character.
Don't worry.
Wait for him to fall. Face.
Yeah, yeah. The meanwhile, I'm just a generic bystander number 8,723. Yes, I figured out my number. I'm the guy who's like third to the left from the back.
Well, that's great. At least now we can spot you in a crowd.
Yeah. So we're gonna be starting out with the next arc in Cage of Eden soon, and yeah, that'll be a thing. So moving on. We don't really talk about the big three anymore on here because, you know, you only talk about shit that happens in Naruto, Bleach, and One Piece so much before you're just going, yeah, they did this again. Yeah, they did this again. Yeah, they did this again. But yeah, so I want to talk about this week's chapter of Naruto because it's a silent chapter.
No, spoilers!
I'm not going to spoil anything.
Okay.
But it is a silent chapter.
Not completely.
Not completely. There are three spoken words.
I love you.
I'd just like to say... called it.
Oh, yeah. Everyone called it, dude.
Oh, do they reveal?
Yep.
I knew from the Facebook page that they were leading up to that reveal. I'm not going to say what reveal it is for the people in here who don't want it spoiled.
But person.
There's a big reveal that's been coming, and I guess they made it.
Yeah, they did. And they made it with a Rasengan to the face.
That is a good way to do that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's really great because it's just showing this entire guy's life and just showing like the emotion shit that he goes through and not a spoken word of dialogue through any of it. And I just really love that. I love it when comics do that, like have like silent issues, and it's something that doesn't happen a lot in manga.
I'm looking forward to when us the anime watchers get to finally figure out who that is.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and yeah, Pudge got dropped from the call. But yeah, so it's real good. It's, you know, it's a reveal everyone knows, coming, but it's still just fantastic that they actually did it as a silent chapter, and I love them for it.
Well, the thing is, the silent chapter can convey so much more than just words, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, it's kind of nice to have a bit of a change for once.
Yeah, especially in Naruto, because, like, in Naruto, there are just so many times where characters are just standing there, and it's just, like, paragraphs. Like, someone wrote a fucking essay explaining everything that's happening.
That's guy for you.
Especially in Naruto. And it's just nice that this entire chapter, there are three words, and one, like a question mark and an exclamation point.
Yeah, so, I love you.
It's not that.
It's
I
not.
I don't keep up on Naruto because it's like, I just don't.
It's like, you're adopted.
Yeah, Naruto finds out that he's the son of the fourth Hokage. Then yeah. He finds out he was adopted.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out you're actually an Uchiha.
Oh god, that would be an unstoppable force.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, just Naruto as like Naruto in sage mode with the combining his power with Kurama, who's the Nine-Tailed Demon Fox. He has revealed his name because now they're buddies.
Aw, happy time.
Yeah. And he has the Rasengan. I mean, not the Rasengan, the fucking Shuriken. What the fuck is the name?
Sharingan.
Fuck, I can't. There are so many eyes.
And then he kills Sasuke and unlocks the Mangekyou.
Yeah, in which he and then he shoots his eye onto the moon and controls the world.
Yo.
He enacts the Moon's Eye plan.
Oh, and just for shits and giggles, he takes the Renegon from Toby.
No, he just has one.
It just shows up.
Yeah. It's like,
well, technically, he is related to Nagato.
Like, is he, though?
Very distant, yeah. Yeah.
His
mother's Nagato from the same clan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so...
They are related, so technically there is a possibility of that bloodline limit developing in Naruto.
Yeah, first you see like the weird sage eye thing with the cross, and then all of a sudden it just starts getting ringy. It starts getting rings around it because he's that awesome.
He turns into the humanoid version of Hypno-Toad.
Yeah, just all glory to the Hypno-Toad. That's what he becomes, Hokage. So finally, one more thing. I've been reading some Breaker New Waves. So, at the end of the Breaker, Shun, the main character, he had his key center broken, which is the thing that lets people use the insane martial arts. But it seems he's getting it back now because, last chapter that I read before the what I'm talking about, he had a all out brawl with 27 dudes who all had full key centers, and he was fucking taking them down just one after another. And then the general, one of the generals of the SUC, the guys that he's fighting against, he comes down and Shion just whips his ass. This guy had a metal fucking gauntlet. Shion, he was fucking bleeding, he could barely breathe, his shirt was ripped open. His knuckles were all bloody and shit. This guy came down, cool as hell, hair slicked back, metal fucking gauntlet. And she was just fuck you, kicks him in the face. Done. Yeah, and also it seems that we are developing yet another girl who wants to jump Shion's bones. Cause he doesn't have enough of those. But I'm pretty sure at this point in the series he has a girlfriend. So might get a bit awkward there.
I'm not sure. I
sort of
dropped off after a bit.
Yeah, from what I've gathered, it seems that he has a girlfriend. A girl that he liked in the original series. It seems that those two either started dating or were at least hanging out enough that they both knew of each other's feelings or something. But now he is. There was the girl from the original series. There was some. There's Rinnie, I think her name is. There's Seta, who's both of those are new, and everyone is just getting up on him.
He's Tsukune. To put it in terms I understand.
Or Captain Jack.
No, Captain Jack would have sex with all of them.
Yeah, he is kind of oblivious to all this. It's pretty obvious to everyone reading that, oh, yeah, it's just kind of this thing. But he is just hey, yeah, I'm a dude. Yeah, I got friends. What up? And then I'm gonna punch shit. Yeah, I still really... Anyone who isn't reading The Breaker should definitely read The Breaker. It's really good art, and it's really great fight scenes. It's really great fighting scenes for a manga. It's always really weird seeing, really insane, kinetic movement in a manga. But this one I feel like it works really well. Yeah, that does it for me. On to news. Just kidding. Bobby Wan.
I'd say go to Ninja Kitty first, because one of our series is the same and the other one she hasn't watched.
Okay, Ninja Kitty then.
We have been busy for many, many weeks, so all in one fell swoop we got caught up on Naruto Shippuden. And I really, really, really want to kick the writers in the face. Really hard. It pissed me off so much because there's so many battles happening everywhere for this third grade ninja war. Exciting things are happening. Old foes are coming back. Old friends are coming back. And, of course, the people that everyone wants to see fight in the main first division. Or is it the first division? Is it the first division? Don't say the leader of that name because that's a spoiler to someone listening right now.
Oh, don't worry about it. By the time she gets there, she'll forget.
Oh, but it's such a spoiler.
Fuck that.
Spoil it.
Spoiler alert.
Care.
Gaara's division.
Wait, how is that a spoiler?
She hasn't seen Shippuden.
Oh,
yeah.
She knows
we're
of the first arc.
It's like, oh yeah,
statute of limitations on that one.
Yeah, and plus, like if they're getting into war, ooh, Gaara the Kazekage is gonna be involved. You know, such a spoiler.
But yeah, I am very mad that they didn't make any of them fight two freaking Kages on the battlefield. Four enemies. They see them
all
coming.
Former Kage, by
all
the way.
Former Kage, yes. They see them coming, they're like, oh, and dun dun dun, Gaara's father is one of them. Oh no, this is gonna be epic. Oh wait, okay, let's go to that battle over there. Okay, we'll just sit through that, okay. Oh yeah, Kakashi, yeah, he's fighting. Oh, look at that. That turned out well. Then you go back to where Choji's fighting. Oh, he epicosity'd right all over that whole battlefield. That was epic.
My issue is that they gave Choji, like, 3 episodes of character development.
Yeah, but he wasn't very well developed in the first series, right?
True.
What, well, he wasn't what, that guy eating chips, so yeah, they kind of needed to give him some
don't
development.
Call him fat, he's pleasingly plump.
Sorry, he's extra cuddly.
What more character development do you need?
Apparently lots to see something that amazing. But after that, the episode wasn't quite over, right? There was some hope. So it goes back, and nothing. Nothing. Nightfall happens. It was at least the middle of the day when they saw those four Kage walking up. How long does it take you to fucking walk up to them?
Well, they're dead, keep in mind.
Yeah, but...
But rigor mortis, you know, you gotta get some time for that to wear off.
Still, though, they were within eyesight. It doesn't take me that long. It doesn't take old granny that long. Come on!
Yeah, but just because they're in eyesight doesn't mean they're close. Like, for all you know, it could be like Saskatchewan. Just like, they could be in eyesight on the other side of the country.
I still call Boo Worms on that. Yeah, they're getting up there. You're about to see it's like, oh, this is going to be an epic evening battle of death and awesome. And no, I'm just going to take all my pieces off the board here, and then boom, they're gone. Yeah. No fighting, no preparation, no epic awesomeness. You know, after Mr. Other Kage shows up to help out the fight.
You know, if you were reading the manga, then you'd be able to see all that fighting.
I know, but I don't want to.
Yeah, like you learn the origin of Gaara's sand power.
I know. I want to see it animated, though. Because I'm stubborn like that, and I really wanted to see that fight. They're delaying it on purpose. I know they are. Because everyone wants to see that epic, epic fight. So they're pushing everything out first so that... People like, will stick around
like, well,
for
the epic,
that
epic,
fight.
It's like, you want to see the epic, epic fight? It's like, epic fight, next episode. 2 seasons finale, fuck you, bitch. It's like Naruto will resume in 2013. Motherfucker, throw your TV out the window.
Well, they did one worse than that. You know, at the end of some of the Naruto episodes, they have like a little brief blurb animation thing about whatever?
Yeah, yes. But
the episode previous to that, they had a little news piece for like updating the... villagers of what's happening in the Great Five Nations Third War and stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is this division. They gave a brief summary of what the hell's happening, where the divisions are, who's fighting, and then they go to each division individually, right, for a brief little interview of what's happening on the scene. It goes to each of them, including the first division. And you see Gaara swinging his arms forward and a bunch of sand going frickin' everywhere and then the camera cutting out. But the next episode, apparently that was just the next day and they were psychic and they got it from the future or something. It was so upsetting, I couldn't believe they did that to me. I'm offended by that.
Okay, there is one thing that I'm going to ask about that is going to be a spoiler. And I don't know if you'll even know this. One of the 5 prized ninja tools of the Sage of the 6 Paths, Ten-Ten had it for a while. For one battle. Does she get it back?
I don't fucking know.
I figured...
Not to my knowledge. Not yet, anyway.
She better get it back. That, or at least Temari has to get that.
No, she
one
already
of them
has a good
that.
Fan. It has to be Ten-Ten in my mind, but anyways. Is that all you have to say about it?
Yeah. I didn't even know she had a thing from the Sage of the 6 Paths.
The feathery fan on the stick. That. Okay, what place
Dead
are they
Man
from?
Doesn't remember anything, so Just leave it.
You know, yep, the battle with the guys that had the jug and the spirit word? They had a fan that you can produce any element from it.
What do you mean the guys who had, like, the nine-tails chakra?
Yeah, they had that fan. Tenten got a hold of it after they got totally owned.
Huh. I remember them like, getting sucked into the jug.
Well, Tenten can use that weapon very well, by the way. Which is why I was hoping she would get that back.
Except it, like, leaves her half dead.
Yeah, she just collapses on the battlefield. She's like, I'm dying! And they take it away from her. She's like, no! My weapon! I'm so good at using it!
It's like, give it to me, Sir Precious!
So I don't have much more to add to the whole Naruto Shippuden thing, so I guess I'll just move on to my other series.
Okay.
I finished up Elfin Tide.
Oh, how'd that end?
I'm going to spoil the shit out of this, by the way.
Okay, so spoiler alert for people out there who care.
If you haven't seen Elfenlied and you're going to, which I kind of recommend it. It's good. It's gory and horrible, but it's good. So I'm going to go through some of the sort of plot reveals that happened as they happened. So another Diclonius showed up to fight Lucy. Lucy severed all of her limbs. although she survived. And so basically, at one point, Lucy got kidnapped. Kota gets her back. And we find out something interesting. That Lucy murdered Kota's family. But he doesn't remember.
Oh my god!
And of course, she's all brain dead and just says new all the time. Yeah. Although she's slowly learning to speak well like that.
It turns out Lucy's actually Obito! Yeah, just like, you killed my family, you bastard! Punches the face, it just cracks real Obito.
Yeah, as it slowly reveals more and more from the past, we learn more and more about what all happened 8 years ago, which is when Kota's family died.
Get up on your mic, dude.
And when Diclonius started appearing, and they all appeared in that area. So, we find out that first of all, Lucy is the primary Diclonius. She was the first one to show up. She's not born from a human. She just kind of appeared. And all other Diclonius are born from people who were touched by her vectors, which is, for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, her psychic powers. Her telekinetic powers.
Yeah. She's like Medusa.
Yeah. She's got a certain number of hands that are telekinetic and can reach and are incredibly strong, and she uses to rip people apart. So yeah, she didn't know what she was for a while. She was kind of, you know, belittled by society because she has horns. And she doesn't first use her vectors until a group of Japanese school children, which you know how this will go because they're fucking nuts, murder a puppy in front of her.
Okay, adding it to the thesis.
Now, these are young school children.
Yeah, like, By the time I actually get around to actually writing this thing out, it's probably going to be like a 2,000-page thesis paper. It could probably count as like, I could probably get like college credits for it.
Anyways, so the first time she uses her vectors, this is at the point that we really learn that there's nothing held back in this series because she murders every child in the room brutally. The vectors come at her back, and the kid who was holding her from behind just explodes.
So she's like, Slender Man.
Did she then tie them up in garbage bags and hang them in trees?
No, she just kind of rips them to shreds.
Yeah, Slender Man's a bit more neat.
And then, at this point, she's actually a fairly well-adjusted child, considering that she murders people occasionally. See, she only murders people to survive. She no longer has anywhere to live, so when the cops show up at one place that she used to live, she goes to another place, kills everyone there, and lives there.
Yeah, well, I mean, natural course of events. I mean, haven't you ever murdered anyone to get a new house?
All the time, man.
I mean, the last 3 years, I've murdered at least 7 couples.
Yeah, well, I'm topping you. I murdered 16.
Oh, well, la-di-da.
Ha-ha-ha.
It just shows how bad you are at hiding from the cops.
So anyways, Lucy is actually a fairly well-adjusted child, despite being a murderer, until Kota happens. What happens is Kota is the one kid, of course he's the main character, so of course he's like this, he's nice to Lucy. He wants to be friends with Lucy. But then, when he's about to leave town, because he's not from there, he's visiting relatives, he says, oh, I have to go to the festival tonight with my cousin. And Lucy asks the all-important question, is this cousin a boy or a girl? He lies and says it's a boy. And because Lucy catches Kota being a two-timing bastard at the age of, like, 8 years old, she starts to murder everyone in her path.
Oh, goody.
It's the unrequited love thing. Come on.
Which yeah. later includes Kota's sister and father. So that one really bit him in the ass.
Okay, so, like, using her logic, I understand the sister, but what about the father? What did he do? Is, like, he start making sexual advances to his son?
He probably tried to, like, defend the sister, and she's like, fuck you, bro.
No, actually, here's pretty much what happened. Kota's sister had seen Lucy murdering the people, and she's like, it's her! She's the murderer! And Kota's like, just slaps her! Don't lie! I hate you!
Hypocrite!
Lucy cuts her in half, and just blood spews everywhere. Her body falls to the ground. Kota just starts screaming. And his father just kind of looks up. I guess he hasn't been watching up to this point, despite the fact his daughter's like, there's a murderer on the train. He's still like, yeah, that's nice, honey.
He just sitting there reading his paper. Like, daddy, someone's murdering everybody. That's nice, sweetie.
Finally, he stands up after he hears Kota scream. He's like, what's going on? He looks, there's a look of shock on his face for about a half a second, and then his head's ripped off.
So she's just covering her tracks, that's all.
Why is Kota still alive? She was really covering
her
tracks.
She likes him.
She says it. She's like, I'm sparing your life because you're my friend.
No, there's love there. You gotta know that.
It's like, I'm sparing you because Zip.
So, back to our present time. I'll skip over this part real quick. A really powerful Diclonius that is 26 vectors that are all 11 meters in length is released to fight Lucy. Almost kills Nana, who's the other Diclonius who was sent to kill Lucy before, but now lives with Kota and Lucy and all them in the house.
And somehow she's still alive.
Well, Lucy doesn't remember. Lucy has the split personality thing.
So she doesn't remember that someone's living with her that's a girl?
Well, no, she doesn't remember that she hates this person. She's got the two personalities. Lucy, who knows everything and kills people, and New, who's like, exceptionally innocent and can barely talk and is by all rights freaking adorable. So most of the time she's new, so she doesn't know that Nana tried to kill her. She doesn't know that she wants to kill Nana.
I was thinking trying to kill her. I was thinking that she's a girl who lives with Kota.
Well, not all the girls who live with Kota end up dead. His cousin, who's the one he cheated on Lucy with, is still alive for some reason.
Yes, cheated.
Yeah, define cheated, please.
Well, Kota and Lucy were naked together.
Oh!
So?
Children.
As children.
They learned so young.
They were drying their clothes, but whatever.
Yeah.
Excuses.
Yeah.
But he knew he was lying. But anyways, yeah, so this one shows up, beats the shit out of Nana, and tries to kill Lucy. Kinda fails. Well, definitely fails.
Kinda fails.
And then the director of the organization that I'm just gonna refer to as SCP, turns out that the one really powerful one with the 26 vectors is his daughter. So he decides to blow himself up with her.
Okay.
Because right. She needs to die, so he blows them both up. And then Nana gets to live happily ever after, and it's heavily suggested that Lucy is dead after she reveals everything to Kota, and Kota remembers.
And then Kota stabs her.
No, he makes out with her.
It's like, you murdered my sister and father in front of me, I'm so hot.
Basically, his reasoning is like, well, I really like Mew. And I really like how you were when you were a kid, so I can ignore the part of you that murdered my family.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just doing this so you don't kill me.
Yeah, I think that might be the more reasonable.
Yeah, it's like, he could not break up with her.
And then it's heavily suggested that Lucy dies, and then it's heavily suggested that she's actually still alive. Neither answer is clear.
So wait, you mean like... So you mean like Lucy is like gone from the mind, but like Mew is still there?
No, well... No, Lucy as a person. So basically, she goes up in front of this big firing squad from the SCP, and they fire at her, and it cuts away, but you do see one of her horns come off. And a bit of blood. And it's like, and then you see the household without her, everyone's kind of trying to move on. And then this clock that she's always fidgeting with has suddenly worked, and there's a shadowy person outside the gate, and the dog is barking at it.
Does the person have a silhouetted one horn?
The other horn got broken off, too.
Ah.
So, yeah.
So, maybe the horns were kind of the source of Lucy, so maybe she's coming back as just Mew? Like...
I'm guessing she'll stay Lucy.
Mew with a vocabulary.
Nice. Mew started to learn how to talk, but not a lot.
Like, the horns get knocked off, Lucy's gone, and all of a sudden Mew is, like, well-spoken. She has, like, she's like a living word of the day calendar. She starts using all these really big, fancy words, but, like, no
one
understands.
She's a walking dictionary.
Yeah. Like, no word she uses is less than, like, 7 syllables. Because, you know, that's fancy.
That's how Elfenlied went.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it. I will say, though, I'd recommend Elfenlied to people.
Okay, cool.
Don't mind
so
seeing
nothing
people
else.
Get murdered.
If you're a blood, guts, and gore person, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I can do it for what we're watching and reading. On to news. There is none.
Yay!
For once!
Yes. Our senior anime and manga correspondent has been on break for a while, so we haven't really gotten much news updates. But now that he's back...
Vacation!
But now that he's back, I expect him to catch up for lost time.
Oh no.
Don't worry, Pudge, my vacation's ending soon, too.
Yep. And then I get... Then I might be able to finally sleep! And not...
No, you're
not
a dead man.
Everything.
Don't sleep.
The dead do sleep. What else are we going
to
do?
Get your flies to do all your work for you.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to teach a fly how to type?
No.
Well, it
can
like land on one key. Like, we get a whole bunch of them stacked on one top of each other.
What you need is not one fly that's trained. You need to train a sentient swarm of flies.
Yeah, but then like typing out.
You know that shit.
Yeah, but typing out something. In order for them to, like, actually, like, hit the keys hard enough to actually depress them so much that the computer recognizes it, they pretty much have to kill themselves.
Well, what then you can always get more.
You need a laser keyboard.
Well, if you're willing to buy me a laser keyboard...
Oh, not until I know you've trained a sentient swarm of flies.
What's the point of training them if I don't have anything for them to use? Like, I need to train them somehow.
If you could give me a demonstration, then I will give you the laser keyboard. Use a picture. Just use a picture. A keyboard. A desk.
But then it won't be used to the laser.
They go through the laser, they burn every time. What
the fuck? That's like they're trying to go through the laser, like, oh god, I'm blind!
Uh-huh. You're obviously unfamiliar with how laser keyboards work. Look it up.
So, well, anyway, no news. So, it's time for Anime Club.
Ew. Two of us.
One without one.
I don't know if Fudge watched.
He didn't.
I did not.
I definitely watched just the first episode.
I definitely watched all four, because all four were only 15 minutes each. So you could have watched the entire thing in an hour.
That is a good point.
But yeah, so, this week I watched Dogs, Bullets, and Carnage. So, this is a 4-episode OVA that is based off of Dogs, which is based off of the manga Dogs, Stray Dogs, Howling in the Moonlight. Which, that manga served as a prequel to the Dogs, Bullets, and Carnage manga. So, each of the 4 episodes focused on one of 4 characters. We have Mihai, a old mob assassin. Bato Nails, my favorite character. A information gatherer with a insane smoke addiction. Like, not nicotine, smoke.
Smoke.
Yeah. There we have Heine Rammsteiner, who is a guy who is the weirdest one of them all, who has, like, this weird metal brace in the back of his neck, which lets him be immortal. and Naoto, a girl who was trained in swordsmanship by the person who murdered her parents in front of her.
Until you said that metal brace thing, because I haven't watched this whole series, I thought it was going to be very grounded in reality from the first episode.
Yeah, like the first three episodes, it's like pretty normal. Like we got like an old mob hitman coming back to town, and then learning that the mob son that he trained had like gone insane. And then we have Bato Nails, who you saw him in the first episode, Bobby. He was like the red haired guy with the eye patch.
Okay.
So he is an information gatherer and information broker, I guess. He gathers it, gathers information and then sells it at high prices. And so he accidentally found out that the leader of one of the mob families is really into gay BDSM. All that happens, and we learn that he is a horrible smoking addict. Like, he went without a cigarette for, 10 minutes, and then went insane and killed, 27 people. With Uzis. And the only reason he stopped killing everyone was because, A, he got enough smoke coming off of the spent shells that he shot out that, it satiated him a bit. And second, someone gave him a cigarette.
I think that redefines the term addiction.
Yeah. And so then there's Naoto, who starts out, she's in an alley running from someone with her parents, and then her parents get dismembered on top of her, and she's left with a giant X scar across her chest. And the guy who's supposed to kill them shows up with the sword and is like, hey, you want to live? Alright, cool. Picks her up, takes her back to his place, gives her a name, and then teaches her how to sword fight. And then we get to Hayane's thing, where he is in an underground city with mutant children things that were grown in some science vats, and he has this weird metal brace thing in the back of his neck that lets him heal from almost any injury. And gives him, enhanced reflexes and shit, and then it turns out he's actually from a city that's below that city where, weird experiments were done on him. And then he has a Luger and a Red 9, the Red 9's, chained to his belt, and he's able to use it with, pinpoint accuracy and shit, thousands of miles away. And, oh god, it...
So suddenly all this grounded in reality stuff is just thrown out the window.
Yeah, it's grounded reality, Japan. And believe me, it gets way more insane in the follow-up to it, because then we learn there are a bunch of children who were kidnapped, then all given these weird brace things. It turns out Haine killed his sister, and then we learn how Bato lost his eye. We learn, oh god, it's really insane, but I fucking love it. I love the series. But it's really great, because all these stories are, tied together, but they're not, and you actually get to see, at certain points, where storylines intersect. There's one bit in Bato's story where he's sitting down in the diner where Mihai lives, and he's, trying to hire Mihai as a bodyguard, and Mihai's like, no, and then someone comes in and gives a paper to, the hooker who runs the place, and it's Naoto. And then we go to Naoto's thing, we actually see that part of the story where she goes and drops off the newspaper.
Okay, so I tend to like different perspective stories like that, where it's interconnected, but kind of barely, but you can see the connections.
Yeah, in Umbato's story, he actually calls Haine up, and hey dude, I need for somebody to help, fuck, help me, and then just hangs up on him. And then, in Haine's story, he goes and finds Bato, and Bato's like, dude, where the fuck were you? I tried to call you, seriously. And it's... Haine's story... while Bato is my favorite character, because I fucking love that guy, I do like Haine's story the best. Because that is where we start getting into the more insane aspect of the world that Dogs takes place in. And it's really good. I really like this series. I just can't... I really like it. So yeah. Do you guys have anything you want to know about the show? Or series?
Because you're just dying to tell them about it.
Well, it's just...
Well, there's three people on this podcast who haven't watched this show.
Yeah, so they could ask questions and figure out if they want to watch the show.
Yeah, that's what I was explaining.
Except internet limits.
They probably have DVDs.
University!
You could drop out. I did.
It explains everything. Yeah, you drop dead. And yeah, then you can have a minion of the flies. You know, Mr. I'm king of the flies. That's all I have in life. It's my massive horde of flies in my bedroom.
So I'm guessing you guys don't have questions.
No.
You guys don't want to know anything about the show at all.
I'm confused about how long this thing is.
It's... What, dogs?
What thing would I be asking about?
So it's four OVAs. Each of them are 15 minutes long.
How do they get through that much story in that such short a time?
They're very good. But, like, so a lot of the stuff... So I'm guessing, like, a good chunk of the stuff that I mentioned happens in the manga. Like, the OVA... Like, the OVAs focus on Mihai coming into town and then getting into a fight with the kid he trained. Bato finding out the information and then killing everybody. Naoto getting her parents killed and then, like, becoming the swords person. And then Haine, who finds some weird winged angel girl and then gets over his fear of women because he has a fear of women. Because he murdered his sister.
That just reminds me of Bakano.
The intro does kind of remind me of Bakano. Like, the music-wise.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and one thing that I noticed, like, watching all these, so, at the beginning of each thing, they have, like, rotating panels, like, showing the characters, in, like, different colors, and then it, like, zooms in on some of them. So, for Naoto, Haine, and Mihai, it focuses on their eyes. For Bato, it focuses on a cigarette.
Of course it would.
I really like that about it. It's really cool that I really enjoyed that. But yeah, so I guess that was going to do it for Anime Club this week. You can listen to the Anime Club Supplement, which is our commentary of the first episode of this series, which focuses on Mihai, which should go up when this is up. So, Pudge, you're picking the next series. What are we going to be watching?
I was thinking we'd watch Katanagatari, which is another show from Nishio Isin, the author of Bakemonogatari.
Yes, in case you couldn't tell from the titles.
Yes. They're unrelated,
oh, yeah.
But they're both very good.
And with very different art styles.
Yes.
Oh, but yeah. So that's, I guess, going to do it for this week. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at Desdor Prods. I am at Deadman Underscore D Prods. We have at Bovion. Kazzy said you at Twitter.
Yes, I believe it's at Kazzy Moyashi, but I don't remember. I sent it to Bovion.
He never told me.
Oh.
Good job.
I thought I did.
No, you didn't.
Have to send it to him.
I will do that.
Oh yeah, and we have a joke Twitter account for Punchatron, which I still can't figure out what to do with. Yeah. So you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/desktopprods. We are on iTunes, you can subscribe to us on there. Please leave us a review, let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. This dude, your microphones are fucking up in the intro. Fuck.
They're trying to contribute. They don't get to say much after all.
Well, yeah. So Friday we're gonna be posting the final commentary track for Musical Month. We watched Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern, at LoveGames.com, we'll be having the Anything Cast live as per usual. Then next Tuesday we're gonna be having the beginning. Next Tuesday we're gonna be having the comic book podcast, I believe.
That would be Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, yes, we're gonna be having the comic book podcast, and then on Friday we're gonna be having the movies podcast, as well as the first commentary track of the next theme month, which I'll be hosting the schedule for and announcing on Saturday. This Saturday, the first. So until all of that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobby Wan.
I'm Ninja Kitty. I'm Kaz.
See you guys next time.